Welcome, everyone, to our monthly Conscious Relationship Teleseminar. Each month, on the second Thursday, we strive to bring you the best relationship information from top experts. I'm Frankie Dorn, President of Relationship Coaching Network. If you're new to our system, please visit www.consciousrelationshipresources.com for free audio programs, e-programs, and other great resources for singles and couples who want to have successful, fulfilling, and conscious relationships. Now I'd like to introduce David Steele, who's the founder of Relationship Coaching Institute and the author of Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life in Today's World. David?
Thank you, Frankie.
Welcome to our Conscious Relationship Seminar Series. With us today is Dr. Stephen Stosny, author of How to Improve Your Marriage Without Talking About It. And today we're going to learn how love is not about better communication, it's about connection. You'll learn that you'll never get a closer relationship with your man by talking to him like you talk to one of your girlfriends. And you'll learn that male emotions are like women's sexuality. You can't be too direct too quickly. And we will have a lot of fun. There's some great stuff. I've been reading your book, Dr. Stosny. It's just pretty amazing. I really enjoy it. And as a man, certainly, just the title makes me want to read it, you know, How to Improve Your Marriage Without Talking About It. Dr. Stosny is the author of You Don't Have to Take It Anymore, How to Turn Your Resentful, Angry, or Abusive Relationship into a Compassionate, Loving One. And you were with us last year in December 2005, Stephen, and we had a great program on that. I really appreciate you being here to talk about your new book. It's just very, very exciting.
Well, I'm pleased to be here. I am just the co-author of this new book.
Right, and you wrote this book with Pat Love. I love Pat Love. She's been on our program several times. And can you tell us a little bit about how you two came together and to do that?
Well, it's an interesting story in itself about the book because I had done this basic research on the difference in male-female emotions for years. And Pat is a dear friend of mine. We met at conferences 3 years ago. We talked about working on something. And I was trying to pull together this material, and I said, there's something missing. And we started talking, and we realized very quickly that this is not a book that a man could write by himself, nor that a woman could write by himself, because we have our own blind spots, and the blind spots are around fear and shame. Men know all about shame, women know all about fear, so it really took a man and a woman to write the book. And her contribution to it was really opening my eyes to my own blind spots.
Wow, that's brilliant, yeah.
Two brains to write a book like this, like it takes two brains to have a successful relationship.
Right, and you know, we can write a great book for men, but then this is a book that really spreads the message and gives tips and understanding, you know, quite clearly to men and women. And I noticed that you wrote a chapter for men, but Pat didn't write a chapter for women. What's that about?
It's because most books are bought by women. So it's over 90% of the people who buy relationship books are women. So we thought we could get the man to at least read this one chapter.
Right, okay. So if you're a guy and you're listening to this program, read chapter 13, if nothing else. Man to Man, How to Strengthen Your Relationship Without Becoming a Woman by the great Dr. Stephen Stosny. In today's program, you will learn how the same vulnerabilities that bring us together tear us apart, why we fight, the worst thing a woman does to a man, the worst thing a man does to a woman, and you will learn the power love formula. 4 3/4 minutes a day to a powerful relationship. Well, you got to explain that one. Okay, so where would you like to start?
Well, why don't we do them in order? Because the same emotional vulnerabilities that bring us together eventually tear us apart if we're not vigilant about it.
Mm-hmm.
And those vulnerabilities are a difference between males and females, not only in human beings, but in all social animals, between vulnerabilities of fear and shame. The females of all social animals are more vulnerable to fear. They go into it at a much lower threshold, stay in it a lot longer. The fear is particularly of harm, isolation, and deprivation. Now, males have the same vulnerability to shame, a loss of status, dread of failure. In humans, the dread of failure for adult males is usually around failure as a provider, protector, lover, or parent. Those are the male vulnerabilities. Almost always in a relationship, if a man is getting angry or shutting down, it's one of those that's been triggered. opposite vulnerabilities work very well in courtship because the woman will express some kind of anxiety, something she's concerned about, something she's worried about. And just think of your own courtship. What would you do as a man when your wife did that, your future wife did that, express her anxiety? You would probably be very protective. Say, oh, honey, I'm going to take care of that for you, or I'll be there for you, because the male attachment style is protect and connect. If a man can feel protective, he can feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't feel protective, then he withdraws.
Mm-hmm.
So she would express anxiety, that would make you feel protective, and you would both feel great. Now, the problem comes after you're married or after you start living together and you are her protector. Whenever she is feeling worried about something, she's going to reach out to you with that worry. Only now it has a different meaning because now you're already her protector. So you're hearing it as criticism. You're hearing her saying that she's not happy right now as saying that you're failing. You're not a good husband. You're not a good provider. You're not a good protector.
You're inadequate.
Right, you're inadequate.
Yeah.
So men have two ways of dealing with that. They either get angry and aggressive, or most men shut down, just leave me alone. When the rules of the relationship change after marriage and the man is the official protector, he will see those same gestures of anxiety that the woman's reaching out with as complaints, criticism, nagging. Now, the fear and shame dynamic is so invisible that we hardly are aware of it happening. What we're focusing on is the content of the complaint. When it's not really about content, you know, I can't love you if you don't help with the dishes. It's not really about that. It's about feeling disconnected.
Mm-hmm. You were pretty clear about how she can cause his shame by his feeling criticized, by her worry, anxiety, his feeling inadequate because of it. How does he cause her fear?
Well, remember, it's a fear of isolation. So when he shuts down, she feels more isolated.
Oh.
And that's how the dynamic feeds on itself. She asks him for something, he feels criticized and withdraws, which makes her feel more isolated, more anxious. And the only way she thinks she can feel calmer is to get a caring response from him. And the only way he believes he can feel calmer is if she shuts up. But shutting up is going to make her more anxious.
Yeah, so she really wants connection so she can feel secure. And when she is feeling worried or anxious, she feels alone, isolated, and disconnected.
Right. Yeah. Except I would add to this, they both really want connection. Because connection regulates both fear and shame. The difference is in how they go about getting it. Women, when they talk to each other, will get connection by talking. They'll say, I'm feeling bad. My life sucks. I'm worried. And that gets the girlfriend interested. They form a connection to the interest in caring. It doesn't really matter what she says. She just cares about you, and that makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how women try to do it with men. Talking actually, if you look at functional MRIs, talking actually lowers anxiety for women, talking about emotional things. But talking about emotional things raises anxiety for men.
Yeah.
So women become more comfortable talking about emotions, and men become less comfortable. In fact, because men have 50% more blood flow into the muscles when they're aroused, it's actually physically uncomfortable for a man to sit and talk about emotions. Start squirming, wanting to get up and chop a tree or something.
Yeah. Is that all the time, like an involuntary response, or can a man learn how to talk about his emotions and be comfortable with it?
Actually, men are very comfortable talking about emotions if they feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we focus on connection rather than communication. Good communication is a function of connection, not the other way around.
Okay, so the man needs to feel connected. The woman gets connected by talking. How does the man connect first, if not talking about it?
Men connect in four ways primarily. One is by routine activities. Men are very routinized. You know, we eat the same thing for breakfast every day.
And lunch.
Right. And that's what the power love formula, to get a little bit of a preview of it, is. It's incorporating connection into the routine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to put your connection on special events like romantic weekends, that's just going to cause a little wave of connection that's going to fall as soon as you get back into the routine. You want the connection to be small little bits of time within the routine.
Mm-hmm.
The other ways are by touch. Men do much better with touch than talking. Sex, of course. Men are far more talkative. There's, you know, the sex life is okay.
You said, of course, pretty fast. Sex, of course. Like, well, we all know that.
And the last one is activities. You know, men are more instrumental. They like to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing more things with your man, rather than just sitting down at dinner and looking into his eyes and talking to him like you would a girlfriend. I mean, he can do that now and then, but that's not his idea of a great evening.
What might be an example of what a wife or a woman can do with a man as an activity to help him be connected with her? I'm having trouble envisioning that. I know, you know, guys like to do things, but it's not necessarily things that he can do with the woman.
Well, there's some things. You know, I've got clients who, they go to ballet with their wives and she goes fishing with them. He's not wild about the ballet, she's not crazy about fishing, but they like being together.
So go ahead and share an activity that he enjoys, even if it's not your back.
Right, but it's, you know, it's got to be fair. He's got to do some activities that you enjoy that would be his first chance either.
I know I feel very connected when my woman watches action-adventure movies with me.
Yeah, and that probably means you have to sit through something like Bridges of Imagination now and then, too.
Yeah.
If you want to see the governor of California in an action movie, then you have to sit through a chick flick.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that would qualify as an activity. Yeah, okay.
You see, it's actually better if it's something that you're not crazy about, because then it's clear that you're doing it for her, and
mm-hmm.
it's clear that she's doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I would never go to a ballet, but I kind of like doing it and watching my partner sit there and be enthralled by it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually watch her more than I watch the ballet.
Yeah, you're doing it for her. It's a gift for her.
Right. Mutual interests are nice, too, but doing something for your partner is actually enriches the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've been talking about how and why men and women are different and what draws them apart. I like what you say, where talking makes women move closer, it makes men move away, and so there's a certain amount of adaptation we need to do for each other, you know. Men need to do a little bit more talking, and women need to understand and know how to do a little bit more activity with the man so that they can connect with each other.
Both genders have to do is see that they, or not give the meaning of your partner's behavior the same meaning it would have if you did it. In other words, because your husband doesn't talk to you like your girlfriend doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Mm-hmm.
It means he's not a girlfriend.
Yeah, one concept in your book that I really liked is the binocular vision, how couples get into trouble if they're just looking at things from their own lens, you know, their own side of things. And the binocular view, when you can see things from your partner's point of view too, is pretty much a requirement for understanding each other and communicating and getting along. And
more years than I care to think about of doing marriage therapy, I think it's absolutely necessary. The resistance to binocular vision is the fear that it's going to take something away from your perspective. In other words, if I have to see the way the world seems to her, it's going to impoverish my perspective in some way. And what we try to get people to see is it's just the opposite. It adds to your perspective. It becomes far richer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when binoculars were developed, it was this boom to military strategists because they could see depth. Binocular vision doesn't show depth. When you look through a telescope, it makes things bigger, but you can't tell how far away they are.
Mm-hmm.
With binocular vision, you can see depth and movement much better. And you get that depth and dynamism in your relationship when you see that emotionally men and women are alike except in fear and shame. And you have to be able to see that things that don't make you afraid are going to make her afraid. Like you can start yelling, and if somebody yelled like that at you, you'd get annoyed but not afraid. Well, she's going to get afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And things that can cause a man shame wouldn't cause a woman shame, so she will be impatient. Why don't you just go ask the boss for a raise? The worst thing you can do is say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when a man hears that, he thinks, well, how am I going to look him in the face if he says no? And
yeah.
A woman's impatient with that because she doesn't feel the same shame vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, the other thing that really, really struck me as I was reading your book, which, by the way, I just got it last week, just came out. Very happy that it came out before we were scheduled to talk. Another thing that struck me is the chapter that you have titled, "The Only Connection Skill You Need," and stepping into the puddle. And this is along the lines of binocular vision. It's like a necessary relationship skill. Can you say a bit more about that?
Yeah, and this is a skill really that's a little bit harder for men to learn. Stepping into the puddle means just feeling what your partner's feeling. You don't have to try to change it. You don't have to try to cheer her up. See, men tend to withdraw emotionally from women if they can't make them happy. The happiness of a partner is actually more important to men than to women. Women would like their husbands to be happy, but they can be okay if they're not. Men, though, if their wives aren't happy, you know that old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Right, absolutely.
And when women aren't happy, men feel like failures, so they either withdraw or they get very impatient. Stepping into the puddle is, and what that withdrawal or impatience does is exacerbate her feeling of isolation. Stepping into the puddle is being there with her when she's having the feeling. And it doesn't take that long. If she doesn't feel isolated, she begins to feel better. It's feeling isolated that makes the negative feeling so bad. So it's a crucial skill for men to learn.
Can I ask you, because this comes up all the time for me personally, that my partner will say, well, you know, I want to feel connected. I'm just not feeling connected right now, and it drives me batty. What is the fastest way I can get her to feel connected when I'm right there? I'm available. Here I am.
Well, one thing is to ask her, what can I do to make you feel more connected? Tell her that you feel connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about that is men do feel connected to women if they're in the next room and you're doing your routine.
Mm-hmm.
Women don't get that. They think connection has to be direct interaction.
Mm-hmm.
For men, connection is having you in the environment.
Yeah.
Because, and this is a crucial point in the book, women give meaning to the lives of men. If you've ever done couples counseling, I'm sure you've experienced this. A couple will come in, you know, the wife will be sitting there maybe with a tear in her eye or maybe just being resentful, and she'll say, I don't think he loves me anymore. And the guy drops his jaw in astonishment, and he says, what do you mean I don't love you anymore? I go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yes, but you would do that even if you weren't with me. And then he's just completely frustrated. He doesn't know what to say. What he's not able to say is that, yes, I would go to work every day, but it wouldn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So work is very important to men, but it's family who gives the meaning to the work. And that's what men need to be able to communicate to their wives, and women need to be able to appreciate. Even if he's ignoring you, he feels connected to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, in my experience, I've been working with couples since 1985. I've been in the field since 1978, and I've always been struck by how men just want their woman to be happy, and they feel so bad about themselves if she's not, and how much, you know, their quality of life and their meaning in life and their connectedness to family and self-esteem, everything is wrapped up in the woman and their relationship with the woman. When you say on the back of your book, one of the bullet points is, the secret of the silent male is this, his wife supplies the meaning in his life. It's like, wow, that is a huge statement, a very strong statement, but I gotta tell you, it just rings true for me.
Yeah, and the book has some of the empirical evidence for that of what happens to men after divorce emotionally. It's devastating on them. But that meaning part is what women don't get. They think for a relationship to have meaning, it has to have continual interaction. And it's just the stability and the structure and definition that you give to him that all of that's invisible, but it's extremely important to him. Women have to be more sensitive to that, and men do have to be a little better at, you know, actively appreciating it. Unfortunately, a lot of men, we call falling in love with your wife as she walks out the door. You don't realize how important she is to you until you're losing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can always tell if the man calls for the appointment, the wife's on the way out.
Yeah. Yeah, when couples are in conflict, sometimes both of them, the only thing they can think of is easing the pain, getting out of there, getting relief from it. You know, they just want out so that they can be comfortable. And then when they do separate, then they experience a sense of relief, but they also get in touch with the loss and how important this person is. and realizing how important this person is, wouldn't it be nice if you can realize that when you're with them?
Exactly. And one thing that techniques like stepping in the puddle does is it makes you realize that you can be with that person even when they are feeling bad. And just knowing that when a woman knows that she's not alone, she feels better. What makes her feel worse is thinking that you don't care that she feels bad.
Right. And for both partners, the biggest barrier to stepping in the puddle and really being compassionate with where your partner's at has to do with taking it personally, making it about you. And it's the hardest thing for some people to get, that it's not about you at all. Be compassionate, be there for your partner, even if they're mad at you, doesn't mean that you have to take it personally and be defensive. How do you work with couples? How do you help them be compassionate and stay emotionally attuned without making it personal and making it about them?
Well, the biggest inhibitor to compassion is guilt. When you feel guilty, it's very hard to feel compassion. And unfortunately, when we're trying to negotiate with each other, we're trying to make the other person feel guilty, which makes it less likely that they'll be compassionate. It's because guilt is about you. It's about how bad you feel, where compassion is about the other person. Compassion focuses on helping the other person improve their feeling. Where guilt is just, you know, I got to feel better, so you got to get over this.
Right.
And guilt will make you come off as impatient. It'll make you come off as grouchy or just uninterested.
Yeah, so if your partner's feeling bad and you're feeling guilty,
it's probably not your fault that she's feeling bad, but you have to care and try to just be there with it. You don't have to, this is what's hard, because men are problem solvers. We want to get in there and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something you have to fix. It's not something you have to sit with. If she knows that she's not alone, she'll cheer herself up because of that fear of isolation that men don't have. I mean, men get lonely, but feeling isolated isn't the end of the world for a man. And isolated, pretty desolate for a woman.
Okay, let me repeat this back, because that went by pretty fast, and it just sounds profound. If the woman doesn't feel alone, she will cheer herself up. So you mean I don't have to cheer her up? All I have to do is make sure she doesn't feel alone.
Oh, you're feeling bad. Let me just sit here with you.
Uh-huh.
And if she really feels that you care that she's feeling bad, she'll feel better.
That's
all you have to do. Just feel it with her. And, you know, men really have to hear this. Women don't like feeling bad. they don't like feeling negative. Because, you know, how many men have you heard said that she likes being unhappy?
Uh-huh.
They don't. They don't like being anxious. They don't like being afraid. She wants to feel better. It's that sense of isolation that keeps her trapped in it.
Well, that sounds quite doable.
What most men try to do is try to yank her out of the puddle without stepping into it themselves, you know, throw her a lifeline, but I don't want to get wet myself.
Right.
And that's because men tend to perceive the puddle as an ocean. If I go in there, I'm going to drown. But it isn't an ocean, it's a puddle. And if you just step in it with her, in a few minutes, you can both step out of it.
That's very, very good stuff. I got to tell you, as I was reading through your book, I have to unapologetically state that my favorite section is on page 148, where it says, 20 reasons to have sex when you don't feel like it. So why don't you say a bit more about that? There's some new stuff in here I didn't even know. It's really, really good. So, because you said so, love, honor, and have sex once a week. That's right. And sex helps you forget. Sex rewires you for pleasure. Puts the pee back in partnership. And, results in weight loss, increases your sense of smell, reduces depression. Now, this is a new one on me, that semen has the effect of producing prostaglandin in women, which modulates female hormones. That's really interesting.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, it would have to be that way, because that's how we reproduce. If you'd ever modulate the hormones, she wouldn't absorb the semen, and we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, okay.
No, they're highly reactive to all male chemicals. Women can actually get oxytocin, the bonding chemical, just by having a man close enough that she can smell. And then she'll get more of it if he touches it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and oxytocin is certainly released after orgasm.
Well, women get the biggest dose through breastfeeding, the second biggest is through orgasm. But women can get it through intimate touch, and they can get it through gentle proximity. Men tend to pretty much only get it from orgasm and from massage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Although I've never really bonded with my masseuse. have felt kind of intoxicated after a couple of massages.
Yeah. If you're not feeling sexual and you're not feeling close to your partner, having sex will definitely help you feel sexual and close to your partner. So there is something to be said for just go ahead and do it anyway, and then you get the benefits from it, which include a firmer tummy and butt and boosts your immune system and keeps you young and protects against Alzheimer's and osteoporosis.
That's one of the healthier things you can do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I am definitely going to publish this in my next newsletter. And can you say a bit more about what's on the next page? It's the three suggestions for, you know, when you feel discomfort. Just say yes, you say when, I say what, and role reversal. These are suggestions for how people can have sex when they're not feeling like it. Is that what this is?
Yeah, so you say when, I say what. See, part of the resistance to having sex when you don't really feel like it is you feel like you're being controlled. And if you get to make a choice, if you're not able to make the choice of when, then you get to make the choice of what. Mm-hmm. You feel a bit more empowered, and that reduces some of the resistance.
Okay, so then number one is just say yes, meaning if your partner is interested in having sex, you go ahead and say yes. But then number two is, well, if your partner initiates sex and you
say what it's going to be.
Yeah. And then the role reversal, what's that about now?
Well, people tend to play roles in sexuality. I mean, you know, real elaborate, like the shepherdess and the sheep kind of role. But we act out these various roles when you're making love in your head. And sharing those and reversing them sometimes can be really exciting.
Mm-hmm. So, like the initiator and the receiver.
Turn me on to pretend that I'm my wife. Mm-hmm.
So, I think what you're getting at is, you know, whatever routines or roles that you normally have when you make love, to reverse those. So, if one person is usually on top, the other one's on the bottom, then change it up. If one person's usually the initiator, another, then the other one play the initiator.
Right. See, what does make sex duller is when it gets to be too much of a routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one way to make it a little more exciting.
Hmm.
But all of this about sexuality and about all the other forms of intimacy, it's got to come in the mindset of thinking connection. The connection is the most important thing. You can't wait to feel connected to have sex. You have to see sex as a way of being connected.
I know that works well for men. What can you say to women to help them get that? It's in their best interest if they want to be connected to be sexually interested.
They have to give him a chance. See, he can't just have sex and then, you know, get his rocks off and then roll over and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He has, after he gets that oxytocin, he has to act it out. He's got to cuddle a little bit. He's got to let her know that, you know, how important she is to him. Not so much in saying it, but just in the body language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, you know, in surveys, men do talk more, a lot more, when they feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot less when they feel disconnected. And this is the interesting thing. Women talk less when they feel connected. Because women are talking to get connected. Once they are connected, the need to talk is reduced.
Ah, okay.
So connection is key. Women will talk less, men will talk more, and you meet in the middle.
Mm.
So give him a chance to show that connection after sex and during sex. And then you can look on it. Well, I don't really feel like starting it, but I really want to feel that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I got a question for you about your statement, forget feelings, think motivation.
Yeah, feelings are really a trap for men. For one thing, males don't have the same emotional vocabulary as females do. If you have a 7-year-old daughter, she is likely to have a better emotional vocabulary than your husband.
Mm.
And he knows what the words mean, but he doesn't use them in his vocabulary. That's what it means. The feelings are after the fact. What the primary thing about emotions are motivations. The word emotion means to move.
Oh, it doesn't mean to feel, huh?
Part of it is to get your attention so that you will do something.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings are not an end in themselves. They're a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier for a man to think in terms of motivation because men are far more instrumental with emotion. In other words, when a man feels something, he wants to do something. Where women find it easier to just sit with feelings and not do anything. So if you really want a man to open up emotionally, think in terms of motivation. The three basic motivations are approach, avoid, attack. And that's of all behavior that's not habit. All motivated behavior is approach, avoid, attack. So approach is interest, wanting to experience more of you, wanting to know more about you, wanting to have more of you. If the man's thinking, am I trying to avoid her now? Am I trying to attack her now? Or do I want to get closer to her now? And it's much easier to figure that out than figure out, you know, are you feeling sad? Are you feeling inhibited? Are you feeling afraid? It's a much easier way for a man to communicate, approach, avoid, attack. Well, I'm attacking now, but that's not what I really want. I really want to approach.
Yeah. And so in chapter 12, if you want connection, forget feelings, think motivation. Primary motivation is approach, avoid, attack. And the ones that will result in connection are the approaching. If you're feeling defensive, if you're feeling shame, if you're feeling fear, you're not going to be in the mood to approach.
If you're focused on the feeling, you'll say to yourself, you know, well, after what she said to me, why should I feel close to her? She insulted me. But if you focus on your motivation, now, do I really want to feel close to her, or do I really want to feel distant from her?
Mm-hmm.
And here's a law of attachment. In general, you like yourself better when you're connected to the people you love, and you like yourself less when you're disconnected.
Mm.
That's just how our brains are designed, and it's complicated why attachment was necessary for our survival. So that's in our brainstem. You will feel more self-enhancement if you feel connected to the people you're attached to. So you want to make a choice. You don't want that negative feeling to decide that you're going to be disconnected. You want your values to decide it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be motivated by your values, not your feeling.
Mm.
So I want to approach you, so I'm going to do it. But if I focus on I feel insulted, then I'm not going to do it.
Mm. And you can't wait to be in the mood or to feel like it.
No, because, you know, feelings are one of the most overrated things in psychology. You know, the new brain research is showing we have no idea most of the time what causes feelings.
Well, I've always thought they were reactive.
Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're purely physical. Most feelings don't even get to the brain, so it can't even be, you know, it can't be that you're remembering something from your childhood, like we use it back. If you look at functional MRIs, a lot of them just stop in the spinal cord. They never get any kind of cognitive activity.
Hmm.
They originate in the body and stop there. So you're aware of a sensation, and then your neocortex looks for a reason. And there's a lot of research about that that's being published now. It's like every week there's a new good book on it. But we don't really know what causes feelings, and we put far too much emphasis on them. You'll be much more successful in a relationship focusing on your motivation, because your motivation is going to come out of your values. Your feelings are always going to be about the past. They're always about what you did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want your relationship to improve, you got to do something a little different in the present.
Brilliant. I love that. So if you want connection, forget feelings. Think motivation. I've always felt that way, but you put it into words. Thank you for that.
See, when you go on feelings, you're going to be more likely serving your ego than your values.
Yeah.
When I work with men, one of the first things I ask them is, do you want to be driven by your ego or motivated by your deepest values?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're driven by your ego, you're going to violate your deepest values. Ego is a shame defense, and shame is telling you to be true to your deepest values. So you're going to lose the motivation of shame if you are ego-driven.
Mm-hmm. And if there's only three basic motivations, approach, avoid, attack, and there's only one that really results in connection, then it's easy choice to make. We find a way to approach your partner, despite how you're feeling.
When I first started doing that, you know, when you first start doing it, it felt a little artificial. All right, you know, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to force myself to go over there and cuddle and hug. But always felt better after I did it. Always.
Yeah.
And so it'd feel terrible when I didn't. And that's how you can tell what emotions are motivating you to do. If you follow the motivation and you feel better, that's what they're telling you to do. If you do something different and you feel worse, they weren't telling you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pout, you're not going to feel better.
Mm-hmm. That's great, yeah. I like that. Maybe this would be a good time to explain your power love formula. 4 3/4 minutes a day to a powerful relationship.
That's a minimum of 4 3/4 minutes. It can go up to 6 minutes.
Oh, well, that would be too long. Sorry.
The whole idea of this is to make it part of your daily routine. It's not that any one incident of these things is that meaningful. It's the accumulation of it. One of my favorite sayings now is if you want to love big, you have to think small. It's small moments of connection that make up the meaning of your life, not big romantic weekends or, you know, great vacations or anything big or grand gift. It's small moments of connection. Now, the first thing in the power love formula is you have to think of something, and I'm going to say I'm a man, you're a man, so we'll do it from the male perspective. Think of some acknowledgement that you will make at 4 crucial times of the day. That's when you first wake up in the morning, when you leave the house, when you come back into the house in the evening, and the last thing you do in bed. That some acknowledgement of your wife's importance to you, what she adds to your life. Keep it very brief, just a few words. Say it to her if she's awake. Don't wake her up to say it. Say it to yourself if she's asleep. But say it every time.
Okay, so this doesn't have to be to her. It can be to yourself.
If she's not available, it's to yourself.
Examples of acknowledgments might be what now?
You've brought love into my life. There's no way you can be resentful when you're saying that.
Yeah.
So, there's no way you can be pouting or worrying about what you're going to do at work that day when
yeah.
you're saying that. You're going to be focused on connecting with this person. And we pick those 4 times because those transitional times are when you're most susceptible to negative emotions,
mm-hmm.
when you stop doing one thing and start doing another.
Yeah. So would you say acknowledgments are like appreciations, what you appreciate about your partner?
They're a little bit different because an acknowledgement, see, I can appreciate that she looks good, but I don't have anything to do with that. By acknowledging her importance to me, then I appreciate that, and an acknowledgement is a deeper affirmation of how important she is to me.
Mm-hmm.
So they're similar, but a little different.
Okay, so acknowledging her importance in your life, how important she is to you.
Right.
Okay.
Your partner enriches your life, and the reason I direct it mostly at men is because I think it's truer of men. I think women enrich men's lives more than men enrich women's lives, because men's primary contribution is protection, provision, protection. While that's certainly necessary, it's not all that enriching. But women definitely enrich the lives of men.
Right, so it's more functional.
Yeah, more functional. Necessary, but the other element is you have to hug 6 times a day, full body embrace, and hold each embrace for a minimum of 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is it takes about that long for oxytocin really to get going, the bonding chemical. And also, when intimacy starts to deteriorate in relationships, the first thing that goes is intimate touch. So this is an attempt to get that back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
6 times a day is a lot. Most people don't hug that much routinely.
Well, most people don't see each other 6 times a day.
That means passing each other in the hall on the way to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
You might have to do it.
Yeah.
But if you keep doing that throughout the day, you know, you can do them all in the evening or all in the morning if you like. It is more symbolic of the connection and also the oxytocin flow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And 6 times 6 is 36, so that takes care of 36 seconds.
Right.
All right, what's next?
The next one is whenever you're not with your partner, you have to make a point to think of at least one positive thing about her. And the reason for that is it's very hard to feel disconnected when you're thinking something positive about your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be something trivial. It can be, you know, you like the way she combed her hair today or something like that. The idea is that not any one of these is important. It's the accumulation of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the final thing is you make a contract. You know, I tell people to download from, you know, the internet a formal contract where I hereby agree to, and you pick one simple gesture, expression of connection that you're going to do every day. And I'll tell you what a lot of men come up with is lighting a candle, because most women like candles, and that's very easy. The secret of this is make it easy and not expensive, because you have to do it every day.
Uh-huh.
My favorite is this guy, he would buy one flower a week and put a petal on her plate every morning. See, that's very inexpensive, but it scored a lot of points.
So you mentioned downloading a contract from the Internet. Like, is that on your website?
No, it's not on our website. It's on Microsoft's website. But you can get it from, it's just a blank contract. It says, I hereby agree, and then you fill in what you agree to do.
Okay.
Write it out, sign it, and give it to her, because it's a commitment to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But keep it simple and brief. Now, all of that is less than 5 minutes a day, and it's guaranteed that if you do it every day, you're going to feel more connected to your partner, and she'll feel more connected to you.
That's good stuff, Stephen. Yeah, you and Pat have done an outstanding job on this book. It's really, really a nice piece of work.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a lot of fun writing it.
Yeah, and how did you guys write it? Did you write it together in person? Did you send chapters back and forth by email?
We started doing that, but then we found that we had a bunch of disconnected material. She lives in Texas, and I live in Maryland, so we met. Well, both times I went to Texas, and for about 3 weeks we went through every line, and Pat's daughter, Kathleen McFadden, wonderful person, wrote down what we said. And that's how the book sounds like it was written by one person instead of two different But Pat's a dear friend. What's amazing about this is we're closer now than before we started the book. A lot of collaborations, that's not the way it goes.
Yeah.
No, neither of us has much of an ego. So.
Yeah. No, this is a wonderful book and great collaboration. The book is How to Improve Your Marriage Without Talking About It. Finding Love Beyond Words by Pat Love and Stephen Stosny. And Stephen, thank you so much. This has been fun. It's been enlightening. I've learned more from you in this past hour and in this book than I have about relationships in a long time. And, you know, I live and breathe relationships every day. So thank you for that. What would you like to say in closing?
What I'd like to say in closing is that what's important is to really look into your heart and say, how much do you want to have a closer relationship? How important is this person to you? And then act on that. Don't let some little ego thing keep you from what your deepest values are.
Right, and don't expect that talking about it is the cure-all.
Connection is the cure-all.
Yeah, excellent, very wise. Thank you, Dr. Stephen Stosny. And next month, we will have on our Conscious Relationship Seminar Series, Robert and Jane Alter talking about good husband, great marriage.
If you're not a member of our network, you can join for free by visiting www.consciousrelationshipresources.com to receive an invitation to our future program. So thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next month.
Bye everybody.